You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Hope you all are having a good start to your day. I'm Spencer. There is Dennis. There is Joel. We got a lot going on today. I guess we can say earnings season has begun with Delta Airlines and JP Morgan reporting today. The rest of the banks report tomorrow. We got to talk Apple, though. Probably off the hopper today. Apple headline out. Yesterday after hours, they have cut their iPhone production forecast. Why? You know why? There's not enough supply of components. They can't get components for their phones. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about inflation. Don't forget, 8:30, Dennis, go wide. CPI out for September today at 8:30. We're going to go really wide on 8:30, and we're going to talk about that number as well. We'll take questions from our chat. Let's throw it to Joel. Let's bring Joel's charts on. Joel, good morning. Have we bought or sold the rip yet?
Oh, man, we already – what a crazy – the Apple and Bullard talking about rates going up, and but it was by the dip again. We're up 10 and three-quarters handles at 43.5150. Only one relevant number on the upside, and that would be the high from yesterday at 43.65. Coming back on the downside here, CPI number, if they don't like it, maybe you see the close at 40.75. Crude pulling back, trying to stay in that $80 handle, down 63 cents at 80.01. Gold, we talked about it yesterday. It's having a good day, up 16.90 at 17.76.10. Silver futures waking up too. They're up 44 cents at 22.955. Bitcoin pulling back, but ooh, healthy. Look at that 55K just standing there as support. Down 205, as I said, at 55.610. Ethereum's just been quiet. Look at those tight little ranges there. Up 475 at 34.93.50. So earnings is finally here for JP Morgan. We got Apple news. We got a lot of stuff to cover. Triple D, your head must have been on a swivel there with a
Bullard. 4 to 4:30.
Yeah, it was great. That was some good action.
Yeah, but you know what? It hit. So the Apple iPhone news hit right at 4 p.m. And it's like you see SPY start tanking, and you're like, what? And then I missed part of my closing hedge on SPY. Of course, you miss part of your hedge on this. And it never works in your favor. When you miss part of your hedge, it never works in your favor. And I missed shorting a bunch of SPY on the close that I was supposed to short. So now I'm long stocks. And then SPY starts tanking. And I'm like, oh, great. Never works in your favor. So then you're trying to work it all out. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you see Apple. It's come back here once again by the dips come back. So give us the headline that broke right at 4 o'clock.
This was a report that Apple is likely to slash their projected iPhone 13 production targets for this year by as many as 10 million. They may produce as much as 10 million fewer phones than they thought they were going to because of prolonged chip shortages. This was according, I want to say it was Bloomberg. I got to be honest, I don't remember who broke it, but I think it was Bloomberg. But that was the headline right after the bell yesterday.
Well, I will tell you, I am participating in that chip shortage because I have ordered my new iPhone 12 mini. I'm trying to get rid of this 5, but It's been ordered here for now. They told me a couple of weeks. It has now been 1 month. So no call. No call from Rogers yet. We're waiting on my 12 mini to come in. The reason I went the mini is because it was the identical size to the 5. I don't want a bigger phone. So went the 12 mini. They said should be in a couple of weeks. It's been 1 month. There is still nobody calling me to tell me my new phone is in. So again, that's I'm participating in that.
You had the quick drop, and then the after hours, you know, goes off the board at 139.50, and then just shrugged it off. Opened higher than that 8 p.m. close. I look at yesterday's close, 141.51, down 77 cents. That'd be resistance for now. Coming back on the downside, you are below the low from yesterday. That's a tough chart. Pre-market low, I'll use that as a target on the downside, but doesn't feel like we're going to get down to 139.26. That's only $1.30 away, but Apple just selling off here and continuing to get hit with some bad news, losing lawsuits.
Yeah, but let's look. It's significantly off the lows, so not great news whatsoever. When we've been talking about the autos getting hit, chip shortages. Now you obviously got Apple. You know, maybe it wasn't completely unexpected, but we're bouncing back, and if you would have told me that Apple was getting hit pretty hard and talking about chip shortages and obviously supply issues, then I would have thought that, okay, the whole NASDAQ's going to follow suit. That is not happening today. QQQ ripping higher, actually up more than the IWM, which I would not have expected. I would have expected rotation out of tech into the IWM, because we've seen this rotation been happening over the course of the last 8 months. Today, everything is kind of ripping higher here. So SPY's lagging a little bit. But overall, I mean, good day for QQQ, considering Apple's not doing that well. And then if we jump into the suppliers, the suppliers really aren't doing that well. And maybe we should take it there right now. So if you look at Skyworks, down $4. Look at AVGO, down $4. Look at Cirrus Logic, CRUS, is down $1 here too. I mean, Qualcomm, again, and it's got its own news, is trading up, but it was trading down initially on it. But you're seeing the Apple suppliers get dinged here, which they should. But I'm impressed with how well the overall tech market's holding up despite the Apple news.
That seems like a lot of phones. 10 million? Less? I mean, how many do they sell? I mean, how many do they usually sell? I mean, that's
a lot, but I'm one of those 10 million. They can't get me my phone. Waiting. Everybody
and,
says they say.
And the other thing that sort of has been made clear to me, I think it's obvious at this point, right, is Apple, and someone said this in the chat, because they are like the supply chain kings, right, them and Amazon. Apple kind of sets the tone for like the entire technology industry sector. It's in terms of like supply chain production feeling, right? Like how good or bad like the industry is feeling about supply and demand is like Apple kind of sets that tone because they're the largest tech company in the world, right? So for Amazon to come out and say, yeah, it's probably not what we thought it was going to be, you know, we're not going to be able to produce the phones we want, that probably ripples throughout the entire tech sector in the coming weeks.
Why is QQ? That's what you would think. That's logic, Spencer. You're using logic, and that's what I would have thought last night too when QQQ was trading down.
Mistake.
Why is QQQ trading up $1.60 here now this morning, despite having Apple in there? What is the reason? Just to screw everybody that has that thesis.
Well, what's like Facebook doing today?
Facebook's up a little bit. When's the last time Apple did this? Every tech stock
is trading up except Apple, but it wasn't that way last night. They were all trading down, and then separation happened. So I guess they don't think that. The market thinks this is just an Apple problem, which is absurd. So I don't know. Part of me thinks, well, you should be selling tech stocks into this rally here this morning, which I've been saying for a while. You know, in a higher inflationary environment, tech isn't going to do as well, but it's impressive. I'm actually impressed that QQQ is up here. I would have thought it'd be a QQQ massacre today on that headline, and that has not happened. So
Do we have any precedence for this? Change my thought process a bit. Didn't Apple do this? I can't remember when, but didn't they have to cut There's always been rumors or analysts comes out. But I can remember one distinct time. I don't know. Maybe it was a couple years ago.
Joel, I think you're right. Let me see here.
And it dipped, and then it just shrugged it off. I wish I could remember when that was. But
well, this is every stock. Joel, like every tech stock eventually shrugs off its bad news. Nobody shrugs it off better than Oracle, which misses every single quarter. And every single quarter, you come back to the stock 3 weeks later, and the stock's gotten all the losses back. And then another 3 weeks later, it's making new highs. And if you look at Oracle, it's at all-time highs here. Once again, full disclosure, I'm long Oracle in my long-term investment portfolio. I'm up about 800-900%, I think, in it now. So it's been a good long-term holding. This is tech stocks, right? You know, everybody's just got the buy the dip mentality. Kathy Wood buying CRISPR last night, the buy the dip mentality in tech has been rampant forever, for a decade. And that has continued to work. So, I mean, maybe that's just what it is too. Last night, you see Apple down, people buying tech stocks on the dip, and now they just get overexcited and they're actually buying it on the rip. I don't know. It's a difficult market to call here. I'll just say that. I still think we're going to all-time highs like Mr. Spencer Israel thinks, but I'd rather own IWM than QQQ right now.
That idea, IWM, I mean, you just look at that, and it is just the ranges. It's right in the middle of the range that you've had since February, smack dab in the middle, and the ranges are getting smaller, too.
There's a lot more inflation hedges in the IWM than there is. And I mean, if you want the pure inflation hedges, we know you go commodity. So, and like I said, I bought more lumber stocks yesterday. I bought steel on the pullback. I've been buying physical stuff. And I guess my best hedge is this house I'm building for inflation hedge, because I can't even keep up with it as I'm building the house. So hopefully it continues to inflate after it's built. But this is the market that we're in. Is it different this time? Is it just eventually going to go back to a tech wins the day? You know, we don't care about inflation. We're just going to buy tech stocks anyways.
That's the exact opposite of what we talked about yesterday.
I don't know. I've been selling tech stocks buying some, you know, like, and obviously, you know, we know I own Nucor, but, you know, I wanted to buy US Steel. I didn't get that. I did buy Cleveland Cliffs. I did buy, it's called Canfor in Canada because I'm Canadian, but it's a big lumber supplier, big lumber stock in CFP and the TSC, if you're following in Canada. I bought more of that yesterday. I just think the physical, I want to own some physical stuff. And it depends on how you're positioned too, right? I've been, my portfolio has been long tech and, you know, too long tech for a long time. And it's worked really well. I just look at my portfolio being like 40% tech probably, maybe 50% tech, and thinking, I don't want to be quite as long tech right now. So I've been using tech rallies, which like we have today, to lighten up some of the tech stocks. And it's not even, sometimes it's just, you know, the reallocation, because the stocks have grown so much. I don't think my portfolio started as like half tech, but it's just like, that's what's grown the most. So you have all these stocks, like I said, you know, Apple, if I add up, I'm long Apple, I'm long Amazon, I'm not long Facebook, but I'm long Microsoft, you know, you're long Google. And these things are just up so much that they start to take over your portfolio just as they've taken over SPY. So, I mean, if you really are starting to get spooked, you got to lighten those things up a little bit and maybe reallocate to other sectors. Hey. And other sectors have been working. I mean, the bank's been working very well. We're going to get a CPI number, which is going to dictate what the next move is. And maybe that's a good segue into JP Morgan earnings because it's next on the list. But, you know, there's a lot of information coming, but if you're, you know, sitting all just tech stocks in your portfolio, I think you're reallocating.
Earnings per share this morning from JP Morgan, $3.74 versus a $3 estimate. Revenue, a slight beat as well, about $30.4 billion versus $29.8 billion estimate. So they beat on the top line revenue, beat on the bottom line earnings. They released a little over $2 billion in credit reserves. What else did they say? A few other headlines in the Benzinga Pro. Gross investment banking revenue up 45%. Total markets revenue were down 5%. That includes, I think, a chargeback or something. So look, the headlines seem okay. And again, releasing credit reserves generally seen as a good thing.
Bank earnings seem to never matter that much. It's, you know, after a day they're forgotten and then they just all start moving together. I mean, I'm going to talk relationship-based trading this Saturday, but the banks, you know, I piston trade all those things. And what's that mean? There's like 5, 6, 7 of the majors and they all moving up and down. One's moving up, one's moving down. I short the one by the other. And they seem to bring themselves back in more often than not. Besides Wells Fargo, which has obviously been a perennial disappointer, you bring those charts and you look at the banks, they all look similar. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley are their own breed to a certain extent. So I like to pair those two on their own because they were never pure banks like the others were. So a lot of other businesses obviously in there. But JP Morgan, I don't know what to say on the charts on this. I'll throw it to Joel here. We had a breakdown the last couple of days ahead of number. Now you get a little pop. We're going to get all the other banks tomorrow. We're going to Bank America, Citi, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, Goldman on Friday. I mean, they're all coming. So we get, this is the first so far, so good, I'll say, but you never know what the bank's going to do until after 9:30, because sometimes what they do in the pre-market is exact opposite of what's going to happen when the big money comes in.
I don't think they like this report.
It's up just a buck. Look, why?
Yeah. Well, because I thought that it would, you know, you've had your move. You got a triple top at 171.50, which is huge. You got a double close at the all-time closing high, 170.22. And you've had a two-day break. And I would be thinking that if, you know, if they like this, they easily would take half of this move back, get it to 168 and a quarter, hold in there for a couple days and take a stab at a, you know, a new all-time high. I mean, I just keep looking at this move in JP Morgan from 152 to 171 and a half in like two and a half weeks, 3 weeks. It's digesting the move. I mean, if it's not going to bolt up and, you know, get momentum off a good earnings report, I don't know. I just don't think, just looking at the chart, they sold it into the report. It did hit 164. I don't know why anybody would knock it down to 164 in that report. But I would just, you know, there's no daily level there. There's no daily high or anything. 168 and a quarter. I just can't, that's my number. Got to get above
big
there.
Movement
and hold
off the TLT. So you're going to see movement, oh, CPI yeah. number coming. What's the TLT going to do? TLT is trading slightly higher today so far. That typically is bad for the banks. There's an inverse relationship there. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on that. If the TLT stays strong, the banks could eventually roll over. So you have that fighting it right now. As JP Morgan had a pretty good report, but the TLT is higher, which would naturally want to bring the banks down a little bit. But that could all change after 8:30 when we get the CPI number.
Right. And I mean, we're supposed to be having higher rates, and that is good for banks. But I mean, it's just an incredible move. And it's digesting it. We'll see if you know how it moves off the CPI number. I mean, I guess we had the big move at the end of last year, right? We went to 100 to 120, then we had another leg up. So on the monthlies, it certainly looks like it still had, you know, just based on those moves, more room to go. But let's see how much it gets back today. Once, as I mentioned, 168 and a quarter is my number for that.
How are the other banks reacting here this morning?
They all moved together. So yeah. It's amazing. And I've said that before, is even on earnings reports. So if I'm doing hedging, like let's just say for whatever, I want to take a stock through a report and it's, you know, got a loose relationship with something like a UPS FedEx, you can do like, you have to do the laggard more than the leader. With the banks, you almost can still do one-to-one. They just don't move around that much. I mean, if it's a really disastrous report, JP Morgan's gonna be down, but Bank of America, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, all of them are going to be down with it too. So they're all trading slightly higher here on the JP Morgan good report. But again, TLT probably weighs on that a little bit. Remember, there's always more factors involved. So if we didn't have the JP Morgan report, the banks would probably be slightly lower because the TLT is higher today. That inverse relationship is very strong. So I think it's the JP Morgan report holding up the banks here this morning. But again, let's see what happens after 8:30. I think we should revisit the banks in 10 minutes.
Okay.
That's all fair. Right. Yep, 821. Yeah, you got that number coming out at 830. And the way these numbers have been, I mean, they've been, I'm not even going to ask you what the estimates are because they just have been all over the place, right?
The spin, if I were at the Fed, I would say, well, they have been going down on an annualized basis. But it's still pretty high, is probably the takeaway. So we'll go over that in a few minutes here. Let's pivot to the airlines for a second, only because we've got Delta Airlines reporting this morning. EPS beat, sales missed by a smidgen. Here's the headline, though, for me. The CEO says that they expect to see revenue get back to 2019 levels in 2023. So another 2 years before the company gets back to the pre-COVID revenue. That's, to me, is the big takeaway.
The report was fine. Again, if you're going to own a reopening trade, I'd much rather own the cruise lines. So I'm just going to stick with exactly what I said yesterday. I think the airline's still going to have it tough because I don't think business travel's coming back ever to the way it was. So I'd rather own the cruise lines. I think they're both moved together. I think the cruise lines are better. So I'll leave it at that.
And I'll just say right now, just, you know, based on the pre-market trading and the trading over the last 2 days, you hold 42.75, you'll turn and go up and maybe test that close at 43.54. Below 42.75, I'm not even going to pay much attention to that 42.37. That's the other daily low. I'd look closer to 42. So you got a technical setup. If you like the report, you like the trading action, you're open into a double bottom. See if it holds. I wouldn't hold on to it for dear life. Coming back on the upside after being down, then up, keeping an eye on that close, 43.54.
All right, it's 8:23. We got 7 minutes before the CPI number. So let's just chill. We'll sit on that for a few minutes, and then at around 8:28 or so, I imagine Dennis will want to hop off and
let's go back into buyback central here.
Yeah,
we had multiple buybacks last night. Bring up the chart of Qualcomm because it was trading down with the Apple news initially. Obviously, the news we know broke at 4 p.m. Eastern for the Apple news, and if you see, Qualcomm did take a little bit of a hit there, getting down under 121. Under 122.
Under 122, yeah.
And then the headline breaks. I feel like around, 4:45?
It was 4:30. It's 10. $4.30. $10 billion buyback from Qualcomm.
Yeah, huge buyback. The stock just absolutely rips higher on every algo trader. That seems like there's a million algo traders out there right now. They overshoot, as they always do, up to 126.5. It's kind of settled in, 125-ish. It helps that Apple has bounced back a little bit here as well. Huge buyback. I'm long Qualcomm, long-term portfolio. Don't intend to trade it. Don't intend to do anything else with it. It's been coming down. It's a nice snapback rally. Are these the kind of stocks you want to own right now? I don't know. I'm not selling it because I'm been in it for a long time, and I'm just, you know, I need to stick with some core tech holdings. Qualcomm is one of my core tech holdings, but I don't know if I'm buying it into the $253 pop, thinking it's getting another $5-6 off this. I think it kind of priced it where it wants to be.
You got some great monthly support. If you choose to lean on the monthly levels, right? Coming right down here, the $122 area. Look at that. You've hit that 122, 123 several times. So if you're leaning on it for a swing trade, must hold area. Maybe they're looking at the monthly charts when they decided to do their buyback. What I'm the negative here, to be negative, Nelly, is that you haven't even taken out your two-day high off this. This thing's been hit pretty hard. Pre-market high, the initial spike was the 126.50, but I think if this thing is going to have some jets and rally today, you should easily, get up to 127.23, and that's $2 away from here. So they like it. It's up a couple bucks. I don't think they love it. What is your you're obviously up from the close. Your 3-day close actually stopped them dead in its tracks. Your 3-day close of 126.55, and boom, it hit 126.50 and right back down. So Street not getting super carried away with this one.
I'm not overly excited about it. Yeah, major resistance up at 130. Talking against my book here because this is my long-term portfolio. I'm not that excited. It's a nice buyback. It's just this sector is just not in favor right now. Some of these tech stocks, the smaller, and this is a big one actually, obviously, this is just not in favor. You can see the chart. So you got everybody caught, bag holder central. I think you sell. I think if you had it on for a trade, you're using the rip to get out. But, you know, it's only up $2. It's not up much on it.
Yeah, not on much at all.
I would have liked to have seen a bigger pop. And then you have International Paper. Same thing, same story. Yeah. They're doing a buyback as well. What's interesting about this one, though, and when I read the headline, I was like, oh, dividend or buyback and dividend raise. And then I looked at IP and it started going down. And I'm like, why is IP going down? And then I went back to the headline. I was like, oh, my goodness. It's not a buyback and a dividend raise. It's a dividend cut. So very rare. I don't think in 21 years I've ever seen that.
Why would they
do that?
A
buyback announced with a dividend cut. Completely, because obviously you can do two things. You know, if you're giving out money to shareholders, you can give them buyback. Well, there's more. You can retain the earnings. But if you're giving the money back out, give it out as dividends or buybacks, really. So I look at it and think, well, if you want to give some money back, I don't know why they're giving a dividend cut. It feels like they're not doing anything. I guess they just wanted to do a buyback. So I don't know if they're raising the money from the dividend cut or what. But very interesting. I don't think I've ever seen that in 21 years and in the same headline where I see a buyback and a dividend cut. But that's what we saw last night with IP.
Look at the pre-market action. The after hours, you got to pop just over 56.40. But if I was long this stock, I'd be saying, man, I want to get this thing over 57. I don't know if this news is obviously not going to do it right away, trading at 55.74. But man, I mean, not one, not two, not three, not six, but nine highs at the $57 area. Huge institution. I don't know if they're or institutions. I don't know if they're moving off that number or not. But that's what you need to take. Take out on the downside here, yesterday's low. I mean, your lows have been coming up, so you've had higher lows. I'd use 55.16 as a potential, you know, if the market goes in decline and this goes in decline. But 57 really standing out to me in IP, International Paper.
All right. It is
8:29. You better go.
8:29. Joel, why don't you pull up some short-term charts?
We will. We go short-term here.
Here's the situation for the CPI print. Okay, so the expectations for this morning are for CPI for the month of September to come in on an annualized basis at 5.3%. That would be 0.3% month over month. 5.3% annualized. If we get that number, that would be the same as the prior month. That would be the same as August, because that's what we got in August, 5.3%. It would be lower than July, which was 5.4%, and also in June. June we had, I believe we also had 5.4% in June, right? So
it's hot. It's a hot number.
It's hot. Later. Oh man, I you know what? I was so busy reading that I have taken my eyes off my other. I've only got three screens here, which I know seems like a lot, but it is really not when you're streaming a show.
You know what? We're still staying within a couple point range here. Just got a pop. 53.75, that stands as your current high. We're looking to breach this 53.75.
Okay, so it looks like it was in line. I didn't finish giving you the estimates for like core CPI, which excludes food and energy, but that came in line at point at 4%, which is right where we were expecting. Non-core, just regular CPI. All right, it was a smidge hot, 5.4%. So remember, 5.3% was your estimate, 5.4% was your actual. So we're basically back to where we were in June and July in terms of annualized inflation rate. So okay, this is now like the fourth or fifth month in a row now that we've been over 5% on CPI. So, you know, it's getting harder and harder to make the argument that inflation is transitory. So again, not only did the CPI number come in above the estimate, but it came in above last month's number. It actually came in higher than last month. Core CPI was in line, but still, I mean,
you know what? The futures are moving here. I don't know if there's something wrong with my stock quotes here or something. I mean, I see the futures ripping around pretty good, but it seems like people have yet to make their. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong stocks. I'm looking at JP Morgan, and that's not really moving off this. It's hanging out at 166.30. I got the good Access Boost. You did make a new pre-market high by $1, 53.75, went to 54.75. We're really back where we started. I mean, you know, looking at the, you know, my levels and looking at the charts here, I mean, we're stuck. I mean, this market is stuck. You know, we had those inside days last week. We broke out. It looked like we were ripping right back up to 4,500. They brought it in. We looked weak yesterday, you know, at least in the after hours. They couldn't follow through to the downside. I mean, that's the only way I could put it. It's just this market is just stuck in the mud. Now you're getting some selling coming in just a little bit. JP Morgan bumps up just a tad. Now we're coming back. 43.75 was the spike. So this is the 1 minute bar you had. I'd be interesting to see if Triple D got some trades off in this, because I don't see Apple. Apple's moved a little bit lower. Microsoft is still holding on to its gains. What else do we got here?
So it looks like the biggest reason for the surprise, if you can call it surprise, right, a 0.1% higher number than expected on an annualized rate, it was just energy. It was just fuel prices.
Yeah, that's it.
Right. Yep. It looks like everything else was pretty much accounted for. And that's not to say it's not high, but it's what the market was expecting. Okay. Right? So it looks like energy is just the culprit here. If you're going to call this a hot number, which I guess you can.
I did initially just because of that, you know, the reaction. The bonds are, the TLT is just holding in here. I don't know. I mean, I thought we could get some more action today with, you know, the JP Morgan earnings and the CPI number. And I think we're just – where were we at? Well, let me change this here to the 15-minute chart. I think we're within a point and a half. Where were we? This is when the number – I'd like to see where we
actually
started out the 830 bar. We started out at 48.50. Now we're turning south. We're going to be testing the close here at 40.75. So I don't know. We were surprised to see the market up with all the negative news. Now they're not liking the CPI now. It looks like we're coming down to test the close. And maybe the market's finally made up its mind what way it wants to go.
I'm going to take that back. Energy, actually, I don't think was the problem. It was food. Because energy, I'm looking now at the breakdown in the actual report. And the energy actually lessened on an annualized rate. Inflation got decreased from September from August to September.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Remember, food, though, increased. If you look at food, CPI in food was for August was 0.4%, and in September was 0.9%. So it looks like food is the culprit here. That's why if you take out food and take out energy, the number is normal, is what we were looking for. But food appears to have been the culprit here in September. Rising food prices. So there's that. And again, now this is what, like the fifth month in a row we've had CPI above 5% on the annualized rate. So, you know, it's I could stomach the transitory argument for a month, for 2 months, for 3 months, or maybe 4 months. But, you know, we're getting to be on month five now. And it's harder and harder to not, like, scoff at any transitory argument that the Fed is making. And I know that they've tried to come off that a little bit. I forget who said it. Was it Ballard? It may have been somebody else who came in the other day, though, and said, yeah, we think it's going to go longer than we thought, or we're not really sure. Yeah, my take a few months ago was I still kind of thought it would be transitory. It's just hard to know in the moment, but that was 3-4 months ago right now, by now. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're still in the thick of it. Inflation hasn't really gone down. It actually went up from August to September. Now, most of that was food, but that's the way it
Triple
is.
Triple D, so. What did you
chop?
I was looking at some of the
stocks.
Stocks
aren't responding because the futures haven't picked a direction. Okay. So when you're chopping around, so if you're doing pre-market arbitrage between the indexes, which obviously is a lot of stocks that are thinner, you're not going to see a huge response to the stocks when you're seeing the index go like, up 3-4, down, no. Okay, people aren't just going to jump and start hitting the stocks, you know, for the most part, until they start to pick a direction here. So they're trying to pick a direction, but really it's been kind of a muted response. I mean, when you look at it, yeah, we've had a 10-point range off of it, but it could have, you know, but some of these we've had a lot more violent ranges than that. So it's been kind of actually we chop, but it's been a tight chop really. So the market hasn't picked a direction. It almost looked like it wanted to go red there a minute ago, and now we're bouncing again. So and you analyze it, and you think, okay, it's a little bit of a hot number, but it's not completely, you know, crazy. Like we've had some of these numbers come, whoa. So, you know, we're a little bit above expectations. And I don't know. I was listening to your food conversation, so I can't comment on whether it's food or what it is. But
yeah, it appears to have food has been the primary culprit last
anybody week. Who's still preaching to you that, you know, this inflation is transitory isn't going to go just disappear in 3 months.
It's harder and harder to see that.
Is one lying to you or two doesn't know what they're talking about? Because it's not transitory. I mean, we are in the most inflationary period we've seen in 30 years right now. And I can, you know, you go in there and everything keeps going up, you know, and it's not just, you know, building costs in the case of, you know, me building the house, but it's everything, you know, like we were talking the other day, used cars, you know, who makes money on a used car? So, I mean, and you can blame the supply chain, you can blame a lot of things for it, but it's kind of like the perfect environment for inflation. You have a consumer that has changed their mindset to a certain extent. You have a consumer that is paying for physical goods instead of experiences because there's not as many people doing as many things as they were doing before. And people are liking spending money and having physical stuff and doing physical things. So I think it sticks for a while. I think it's sticky. And that's why I keep saying it's about changing your portfolio to be better suited for the environment. And I think you're still looking. I'm still buying commodity type stocks on pullbacks. I'm still selling tech stocks on rips. And I think he continued to do that until the data starts to show that, you know, this inflation is in check. And I don't think it's going to get in check anytime soon.
You know, gold once again, just toying with the longs here. Got up to 1778.50, got right near that high from a couple days ago, and then back down, now up only 320. So your gold inflation hedge, not working out. Not working out. Bitcoin didn't move off that. Now the screws are feeling heavy, Dennis. It just feels like in this market, yeah, I know you're getting people buying the dip, but I think these rips here, it feels like the money is coming down. Like, you know, it's out there. The offers are out there. They're willing to sell. They're willing to buy the dips and stuff, but it feels like the offers are just coming down. And now we are going red here on the session. I've given back a lot of those gains. We didn't get to yesterday's high. We're now in the red after that. So the market has made its decision that it doesn't like the CPI number.
No,
the
market hasn't made any decision at all. I completely disagree with everything you just said. I think you're going to see a lot more chop. I don't think we can, you know, clearly say just because we dipped to the red, the market has made its decision. The market doesn't know what to do with this number. That's why it went up, it went down. I think you're going to continue to be in this environment. If you're full on bearish and you're selling in the hole, you're doing it wrong. I think I'm going to continue to be a broken record on this show for a very long time. And you've got to be buying dips and selling rips until further notice. In 2020, it was the buy the dip market and then hold, because they continue to go higher. And if you were selling the rips, you're regretting it 3 days later. Remember us saying that last year, Joel? It's like I sell a stock, I regret it 3 days later because the stock is higher. We are not in that market environment anymore. We are in a contrarian market. We haven't seen a full-on contrarian market for a while. We saw little glimpses of it in 2019, 2018 before COVID started. There was a few pauses in the big running bull market. Right. But we're in a contrarian market now where you're seeing just a lot of chop, a lot of no directional trades. And if you're buying breakouts and you're selling breakdowns, you're probably doing it backwards too, because a lot of these are fake breakouts and fake breakdowns. So I think you continue to fade moves, and that means selling the rip and buying the dip. I'll keep repeating it because it continues to work.
Oh, wait, chat's asking about used cars. So I'm looking at the report right now. I can go through by segment. The used car market is still absolutely bonkers, insane. On an annualized basis, we're still up 24.4% year over year. But the silver lining there is that the used car inflation in used cars has actually gone down now 1, 2, 3 months in a row. So it is getting better, but it is still absolutely bonkers if you look at it on an annualized basis. I just want to go through the different segments here and tell you what segments are better or worse than the overall headline number. Again, 5.4% was the overall headline number for September. What's better and what's worse than that, right? And by worse, I mean higher than that. Better, I mean lower than that. Food inflation overall is not as bad. It's 4.6%. Energy is still absolutely insane. It's 24% annualized. Used cars, obviously insane, I just said. Medical services are not as bad, only 0.9%. Annualized. Transportation, not as bad. Apparel, not as bad. It's really just cars and it's energy on an annualized basis that are just ripping our faces off right now. So they've gotten better. Energy's gotten better the last couple of months, but same with used cars, but still just ripping our faces off. That's where it's being felt the most, probably. But there are segments that are doing better than the average, obviously, because it's an average number. So, just wanted to throw that out there. People were asking about used cars. Used cars are still bonkers.
Cause you can't get the new ones.
Yeah. Bonkers hot, but hey, silver linings down 3 months in a row.
Some of these problems do fix themselves. If we do figure out the supply chain issues, you know, the used car market isn't going to be as bonkers, obviously, as it would be otherwise. So some of these problems I do believe do fix themselves. I don't think you're going to continue to see the inflation rate maybe that in certain parts of the economy that we've been seeing. We know building costs are just absolutely insane. Concrete, you know, and maybe there's my builder telling me, but I've heard from multiple people, it's up like 50 to 60% year over year. I mean, it's an insane number to think about. Like, we've been giving, you know, the electrical, you know, a lot of love on this show with the inflation we've seen there. We've been giving the lumber, which has come back down to a certain extent. But, you know, concrete, it's like so many things. But, you know, used cars is the thing that really blows me away. And I think that does fix itself once, obviously, you know, GM and Ford put out the production of the cars that they want, not having to have chip issues. I think you're going to start to see some of those problems fix themselves. But this mindset of rising prices is out there. And there is businesses that probably don't actually have the input inflation that other businesses have, but they can use it as an excuse to raise prices as well. So you're seeing a little bit of price gouging probably in that way happen as well.
Obviously, this amount of inflation is not okay. To anyone who thinks that any inflation is bad, I would disagree. But this inflation to this extent is obviously not good. I was just trying to tell you what is better than the average, what is worse than the average, to give you a feel for where the pain is being felt the most. It's being felt the most in used cars, in energy, and that's basically it. Used cars and energy right now are by far, those markets are just bonkers. But hey, getting a little bit better, I'm trying to find the silver lining here. It's 8:45. Let's talk about Plug Power and Ballard Power this morning, because I saw someone mention it in the chat. We talked about it on the pre-market show. Plug Power caught an upgrade this morning. I forget who it was. Let me check right now. It was Morgan Stanley giving Plug a $40 price target. So Plug and Ballard are both moving higher off of that. And let's pull up that chart.
Look at the run this thing has had.
Plug's been moving.
Yeah.
And you know what? Jim Cramer helps it along too. I mean, he had the CEO on Plug Power 2-3 days ago, and people start, you know, it was a retail-loved stock. So when these CEOs get on Mad Money, they can be a catalyst as well. Obviously, there's been some news here too, but this Plug Power has really been popping. But again, if you're going to come in it now, it's $24 5 days ago. Now it's $32. So you just saw a 30% rise in 3 days. This is not the environment where stocks that are going up 30% go up 50%. It's more the environment where stocks that go up 30% come back in 20%. And if I was just, you know, and obviously we don't have a crystal ball, we don't know anything. But I've been burned chasing moves in this market a lot of times. This is not the market to chase in.
Nothing to lean on up here except for the pre-market high at 32.65, and we're starting to leak off that level as we speak at 31.75. So the bulls got some lifting to do. If they could take that out, maybe I get a look at 33.28. But just what a great run this has had. And I mean, now you're coming with the upgrade. I mean, all these people are very happy about that. 32.65 pre-market high. Use that as a target.
Yeah, Plug and BDP.
BDLP?
BDLP because they moved together.
BLDP.
BLDP.
You're both dyslexic today.
Whatever.
We'll give Spencer a break.
Give me a break. Come on.
3 days of COVID, we'll give him a break. Joel, we don't give any breaks.
That's a thing. COVID brain's a thing.
If Joel chopped my head off because I said, well, the market looks a little bit weak here. I don't know where to buy the dip, though. Is the dip at under 4,300 where all these lows are? You know, the lows from last week?
I think if your target's on your stocks and you're looking at levels and you're using Joel Alkonen level analysis, which he's going to teach more of that on Saturday. He's actually going to teach you how to derive your levels. So it's a good segue to advertise our event once again on Saturday morning at premarketprep.com. But, I mean, there's so many, you know, there's stocks that come into support and the support holds.
Right.
And we talked about this AMD 100.
Oh,
just sitting there. And then all of a sudden it starts going off. Robinhood 40. We talked about the Robinhood 40 for a while. This has been the Rock of Gibraltar. You know what? It's going to challenge it again. You think on like the seventh time, maybe it's going to take it out this time.
Look how quiet that is.
But what I say is, once they hold three times and you're making money buying off that level, you do it every time until it breaks. Because I once did GE off a level, I'm not kidding, I think 19 times in a row. It was back like, I don't know, like a decade ago. And I bought it off this level, and it was an intraday level, 19 times in a row before it broke. And I'm making money every time, picking up 50 cents a buck, picking up 50 cents a buck, picking up 50 cents a buck. And then eventually, and this was when it was like a $100 stock. But I mean,
it is $100 stock again.
It's $100 stock again because of reverse split. But here's Robinhood. If you've been buying this off this 40, I think you continue to do it until you see a 39 print. And then you're like, okay, it's through it. That was fun. It was fun while it lasted. And continue to, you know, just get in there and sell the pop. Get in there and sell the pop. So Robinhood's going to try 40 again. Maybe this is the time it's going to break it. But it's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like 8 times already it hasn't broken 40. I'm not going to say it's going to be the time on the 9th time that's actually going to break. That it means it's a solid level when it holds 8 times in a row.
You know, G got two-said yesterday. He came
did
out.
It?
Yeah,
what did he say?
Did he?
I think he what? And did I might not. I might be wrong.
He could have dreamt that up.
I think he gave it. I think he gave it a $55 price target.
Look, where we need to verify this. Chat, can you help us out on this one?
I did you know
not
what?
Hear
is that.
It in pro?
Joel
it,
made
well,
me refer-
the problem is Joel has these dreams at night. He confuses dreams with reality sometimes. So we have to verify. Okay. I'd say 80% of the time, though, it is reality. So that's why it's worth checking.
Please.
Joel may be referring to like if he was on TV, right? But
I saw it on CNBC.
Really hesitant on this one though.
I don't think that was new though. I don't think that was new.
No, Maddie says you're right. Maddie says you're right.
All right.
Slowback says Joel's daydreaming again. So we don't know. We have one for Joel's right. Two, if you think Joel is daydreaming. So we're going to do a vote in the chat. If you think Joel is right on the $255 price target and he didn't dream it up, put a one. If you think he is daydreaming, you're confusing.
Maybe it wasn't reality. New. I think I was on CNBC yesterday.
Joel, you need to go ahead and buy Lucid Motors. You're lucid dreaming over here, man.
Money Mitch has voted that you're dreaming too. The chat doesn't know what to do with this.
Here's what I think. I think Joel's right, but I think he was not a new price target.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Here we go. You guys are, you know what? I just may
quit. We like to pick on you, Joel. I'm sorry.
I just may quit right now. I just may walk off. I may put, look at this.
Okay.
Are you guys looking at my screen?
We see it.
Is that from last year?
And what's the date on it? continue reading.
Oh, you got a plan.
What's the date on it, Dennis?
Joel,
what does that
signed?
Say?
Joel, you're not signed in. No, Joel. I'm agreeing with you. I said I think what you said is right.
You read it in Barron's.
But it wasn't. It wasn't.
No,
a new
it was
price
on TV
target.
Too.
Okay, fine.
I don't know where. I thought I saw 55.
Okay.
But it was on. There it is. There it is. Okay. You see it right there. Did you see it?
We saw it. Okay.
It looks like he's correct.
Okay. Let's go back in the chat here. Someone was asking about Merck. I never apologized to you for picking on you.
Sorry.
Someone was asking about Merck in the
chat.
Yeah,
you know what? Your mom's going to come on down and you like a hammer.
I try to send me a text right now. Stop picking on Joel.
You're going to get grounded. Well, you don't go anywhere anyway. So it doesn't make
and
any
COVID grounded for a year and a half.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. What?
Wait, Joel. I need you to read because the Barron's thing. I lost your chart, so bring it back up, and then let's look at Merck.
Okay. Merck has been leaking here. Let me get my charts back up here. It's under $80 now, right? I was looking at it yesterday. Let me bring up. There we go. We got to get the.
It was
G
another
up.
Opportunity to sell the rip. We talked about it on the show that day. I specifically said if this wasn't in my long-term portfolio, I'd be ringing the register on the 6-point rip. It is starting to come back. I do believe it eventually fills the gap all the way down to $77. I think you're selling the rip on this thing. There's no rip here today, but I think it fills the gap.
You know
talking
what,
completely against my book.
Yeah, what was interesting? What was interesting about it was it had those big opens and it had, you know, we're going back to 4, 5, 6 days and it had the rips and it had some higher moves, but it would always close below the open and you know on heavy volume. So to me that indicates, the sellers were like, okay, yeah, open this puppy up. Yeah, get it up higher because I got stock that I've been sitting on since 2000. 18, you know, and 55, 60, and this is just a dream. So it's filling the gap. It's just slow here, slow league. S&P is back to unchanged again at 40.75.
Chopping around.
Chopping around. But this 43.30 and 43.40 handle, we have been seeing a lot of that.
The word of the day is chop. It was the same word we used last week. It was the same word we used last month. Chop, chop, chop.
It could be that. You know what? It could be that for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't necessarily have to rip back to do all-time highs. And we don't, and we don't necessarily have to, you know, have to take out the lows from last week and go down. You know, the market has a lot of periods where it just does nothing. And it sure feels like we're in that now. Well, who knows how long it will persist.
Throw your trading fork away and start eating with trading chopsticks. That is my tip of the day. And my mother just said, stop picking on Joel. Not joking. All right, I'm sorry, Joel.
Okay, let's
do we have 5 minutes for ticker time.
Okay, Dre Day is asking us to look at Avis. I guess
Dre
we should.
Day, I like that.
I guess we should look at Avis because...
We're looking at car again.
Looking at cars, inflation.
It goes up every day. This has been it doesn't get any love about the short squeeze of short squeezes. Anybody who shorted a car thinking that, well, it's going to go the same way as Hertz has been absolutely annihilated. You don't want to talk about Captain Kirk going to space. It's Ava's budget that's going to space as well. The stock goes up every day, ripping higher another $10 yesterday. I don't even think there's headlines. It just goes. I don't know when it stops, but this has been a rocket ship. It will come back down to Earth eventually, but holy mackerel. Never short a stock making new all-time highs. And you know what? When it broke out from 100, we talk about how breakouts haven't been working. Here is one that went up 50% in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 trading days. That is absolutely nothing short of incredible. Wow. What a move in the stock. I'm so glad I'm not shorted.
For this one, wow, it did have a big range yesterday. I mean, the only thing, a new all-time closing high by $10, and the volume was pretty good too. One of the best volume days that it had. So the high was right near. Just keep track of those closes, those all-time closing highs. Right now it's 153.39. So, you know, maybe if it kind of starts to fail and not hold that area, but I'm close right near the high. I'm gonna tell you, when last time we traveled, that line was really long to get at Avis. So they're doing it right. I don't know what the person wants off this. If you have a target at 153.85, then take your target. But this is a rocket ship.
Hey guys, I just want to jump in here right quick. About a week or so ago, we were looking at HTZZ. Look at it now.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah, look at it now.
Okay.
This is off board, just running.
Starting to get a little run there.
Starting. Yeah,
I don't buy anything that's bankrupt, though. I don't buy
bankrupt. No, they're stocks, out. But... Dennis, they're out. They're out of bankruptcy.
Okay. In any regard, it's not listed on the regular market. It's listed on OTC Amex. It's not even on the regular Amex. It's on OTC Amex.
That's correct. But
that stuff is thin. That stuff is wild. That stuff is not for me.
Okay, but good call out, Mitch. Hey, a couple more from the
nice
chat.
Call out, Mitch.
A couple more from the chat, and then we have some announcements to make. Let's go with MasterCard here. How's MA doing? I think it's been stuck in a range, right? Kind of choppy.
Yeah,
in the middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere.
Yeah, Max. 360. Yeah, need to clear 360.
Oh, that was real quick.
Let's I mean, it came off the low. It failed at 360. I mean, if you feel like this low of the move was, you know, that was it. I mean, you can lean on that 335.62. Currently trading 345.
Okay. I mean, David's asking us to look at Bitcoin. We looked at Bitcoin at the top of the show. I don't know. It hasn't done anything since then, really. It's just, you know, we're down a smidge for the day, but... we always
take give you a level here in pick. I mean, it's, I mean, for the speed that it went up, it surely is not coming down very hard. This is just the futures here, so yeah. I don't know what the 24-hour chart looks like on it, but for the futures, 54K. I mean, as long as you stay above 54K, you got to be in the bullish camp.
Okay, couple of announcements we got to make quick. First, obviously, as Dennis mentioned earlier in the show, the Saturday pre-market prep 3.5 hour webinar this coming Saturday, premarketprep.com. I'll put the image up on the screen. 3.5 hours of Dennis, of Joel, and Rob Friesen talking, really just going more in depth on their strategies and how they trade. If you want a teaser, you're like, well, I didn't do the first one. I don't really know what to expect. Here's where you can get a teaser. Okay, 2 o'clock Eastern time today, Dennis and Joel are doing their very first Twitter Spaces on Dennis's Twitter account. I understand. Is that right?
I've never done a Spaces before, so this could go very bad. If you want to watch me mess up a space.
No, it's only verbal.
No, I think it's video too.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Joel, we don't even know that.
All right, on that note, I'm going to head off and cover all these symbols on Pre-Market Prep Plus.
I'll put a link to the spaces. You can already generate links. I'll put a link in the chat there. It's in the chat right now, 2 o'clock Eastern time. If you've never done spaces, I put it in the chat. If you've never done spaces, check it out. I think they're great, honestly. I probably check out spaces a couple of times a week.
Spaces is free today. We'll talk a little bit of stocks. We're going to do a preview, obviously, of what we're going to talk about. It's not going to be a ton of education because we're going to save all the education, but we'll tell you what we're talking about, and we'll do a little bit of stock talk as well at 2 o'clock on the Benzinga Twitter, I believe, as well. I believe it's going to – I'm not 100%, but anyways, I guess you got it right there, the link.
Yeah, the link is right there in the chat. 2 p.m.
That link is free. The educational webinar on Saturday is $99. Because we're putting a lot of work into it. I wish we could do everything for free all the time, but you know, it just doesn't work out that way. We actually have some serious time and money put into, you know, when we're putting together educational webinars. So it's $99. I know some people say, oh, I get free web education everywhere. I don't give free education anywhere. I don't give, I give pre-market prep. I give you little ideas. I give you stock ideas. I don't sit there and do 3.5 hours of education ever for free.
Especially on a Saturday.
I can't afford to do it for free. So, and people have asked me for mentoring nonstop. I don't do mentoring for the simple reason is that it's tough because what do I charge for mentoring? I've always had this conversation. I'm like, I could sit there, but I've got family time. I'm trading full time. I don't have the time to do it. So for me to do mentoring, I would probably have to charge like $2,000 an hour and nobody would ever pay that. So that's why the webinar at $99, you're going to get us for 3 hours. We group everybody together and there's lots of obviously education in there. So I don't think $99, I would have put it higher than that, but $99 is the price on Saturday. So you get what you pay for if you're getting free education, I always say out there. And yes, we give a lot of good stuff on premarketprep.com, or we give a lot of stuff, you know, on the pre-market show. But we don't give this stuff on the pre-market prep show.
So again, 2 p.m. Eastern time today, Benzinga's Twitter, Dennis's Twitter, the link is in the chat, but also premarketprep.com. Here, I'll put it up on the screen once again. On Saturday. There it is.
Yeah.
Premarketprep.com.
If you can't be there, you will be able to get the recording. And again, I know some people said that they didn't get the recording from the first one. You just send us your email. Email joel@benzinga.com. And if you're on the list from the first one, we still have the recording. We can send it out.
Yep.
So we have the first event recorded. This one will be recorded as well. You will get a recording. So there you go. So if you can't be there live, you get the recording too.
Okay. Dennis, have a great rest of your day. Second announcement I want to make is the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference is tomorrow. It actually kind of starts today. We're going to be airing our virtual track today at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. But for the in-person stuff tomorrow and Friday, like today is the last. I mean, unless you want to risk showing up without a ticket and buying one at the door, which may or may not work for you. Today is your last day to buy tickets. So bzcannabis.com to get your ticket today. We're going to be doing – it's weird. It's going to be a learning experience for us because it's our very first hybrid event, right? We've done the in-person. We've done the virtual. We've never done both at the same time. That's what this is. It's going to be an in-person event and a virtual event. There's going to be in-person stuff that is streamed, but that's all you get. You don't get the networking, the FaceTime, the one-on-one, that sort of thing. BZCannabis.com to learn more about who's going to be there tomorrow and Friday. That's going to be a wrap for us here. I'm going to end the show. live trading with Benzinga, with Mitch, Ryan, Zunaid, starting right now. I'll be back on stream at around 10, 20 or so, and then I'm going to run with David Green from 10:30 to 11 today. So I'll see you guys there, everyone. You know what? I haven't asked for likes. It's hard for me because I don't have my usual setup. I can't really see all that I want to see. Right, 255 likes right now. Can we get to 300 likes? I think we can. I mean, I'm doing the show from home, streaming from home. It ain't easy, and I'm powering through for you all. So give me the 300 likes. I would appreciate that. And yeah, please remember all the information from our show meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Once again, everyone, masterworks.io. I put the link in the chat at the top. I put the link also in the description of this video. It's there, masterworks.io. Check it out. Invest in art without being a billionaire. You can do it. All right, that's a wrap here. Live trading starting right now. Everyone, have a good rest of your day. Good luck at the open. Stay green. I'll see you guys back on stream in like an hour and a half.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.